This is The Bible Show.
Welcome to The Bible Show Daily. We believe in the power of God's Word, so we want to be in it each and every day. Where are we at in the Bible today, Sam?
Today we are in the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 7 and starting in verse 7, and Jesus is going to talk to us about persistent prayer.
And Jesus says this in verse 7, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?"
So right out of the gates, there's a couple of things that jump off the page here. And for the skeptic, it's like, you know, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and it, you know, you'll find, knock and it'll be open to you. And it's like, man, well, I've asked and it didn't happen, or I've sought and I didn't get it yet. There's something to be known that in the Greek here, this is actually told to us in the present active imperative sense. So what does that mean, right? What does that mean, Sam? That means keep asking. It's like a persistence. You keep asking. And the same is you keep seeking, you keep knocking, which presumes, if it's being said in the present active imperative, that one time might not measure up. Hmm. So what do you do about it? Yeah. You just keep at it. You keep asking. You keep coming to the door and you keep knocking and you keep seeking. And then Jesus goes on, like, you keep doing it. Elsewhere, Jesus is going to talk about the persistent widow who will not let go of her pursuit until she gets an answer. And he says, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened." But this is not some, you know, it's not saying, oh, cosmic, you know, ding, 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 God, lotto I need ticket. This, right, lotto ticket, whatever. It's saying, no, there might be gold for you in the pursuit. So keep asking, keep trusting, keep seeking, keep knocking. If you don't get an answer one time, it's presuming you're probably not going to get an answer right away. So keep doing it is the idea. And so Jesus, in illustrating this, he's using a family, which is like the most trusted relationship you could find. So like if
supposed to be.
Right. That's true. So, but in your wife, like that's probably the most intimate relationship that you have. But if you're talking about somebody that you feel like a unique provider role for, do you think your wife or your daughter? Like
my daughter,
I got to protect because they're defenseless. They're innocent. Right. And so he's coming and he's using this in the next part of this where he says, "Which of you, if you have a son who asks him for bread, will give him a stone?" Like, where it's like, hey, I need this for life-saving, really important means. And you're like, well, and back in those days, stones and bread, have you been to the Judean wilderness? They're huge stones, and they look like bread. So it's like, I'm going to cut corners, and I'm going to give you this, and it's really just an artificial one. But to cut corners, because I don't want to spend my time, you know, finding bread for you, I'm going to give you the cheap counterfeit of it that's not really as good. Like, nobody's going to do that. You're going to want to find that which is going to take care of your son. If you ask for a fish, who's going to give him a serpent? Well, and you notice how Jesus is like a counterfeit, because what does a fish look like? Well, it's wiggly and it's scaly and it's, you know, but it gives life. It's good for food. And over here you have a serpent. Well, what does a serpent look like?
Yeah.
It's wiggly and it's scaly, but what does it bring to you? Destruction and death. So over here you got a loaf that brings life, or a stone that can do nothing for you, right? Here you have a fish that brings life, or you have a serpent that brings destruction. And it's like, okay, let's set this aside. Which father is going to give their kid the destructive thing? Like, and then he goes on and he says, like, you're evil, right? Which is like, whoa.
It's a little jarring, yeah.
If you then, who are evil, which is an accurate assessment, we shouldn't balk at that. We're all self-absorbed. It's only our needs. But when we see our kids, almost all of us are like, I'll lay down in traffic. Like, I'll do whatever I have to do to take care of my kids. If we know how to give good gifts to our children, if we more often than not are naturally selfless to care for our kids, well, then how much more will your Father in heaven, who's infinite in his love and capacities, who has, you know, offered up his son for us, How much more will he give good things to those who ask him? And again, it's that persistence. Like, so when we go to him, it's like we can trust him in the asking, in the knocking, in the seeking. That if he's not answering right now, there's a good reason for that. And the analogy then applies to, like, if I have a kid and he's like, I want to go do this, and I want to go do this, and I want to go do this, and I want to go do this. If I know that it's not a good time and the time might be destructive for him if we go play in the middle of the road, you know, like, well, let's maybe wait until it's dark out and then we'll go bike riding when you're learning how to ride your bike because it's better off and there's less cars on the road. I don't know, whatever the analogy would be. Just because he doesn't answer us immediately does not mean that he doesn't care. And we have to remind ourselves of his character, that he is a father who loves us, who is good, not evil, who loves us far more than we love our own kids, and then entrust that he cares for us and therefore keep coming to him and relying on him. What are your thoughts when you read this passage?
I think for me, it's the invitation to pray some prayers I've probably stopped praying. Does that make sense? Like, there's definitely some major things in my life that it does feel like, all right, well, I've tried. Like I've prayed the prayers and I have stopped asking. So the imperative to keep asking, I think, is hitting me today.
Yeah. And I think with that, you know, Paul comes to this point, and this would be mine, because it's kind of the same thing. Because I think everybody has had that, like, I've prayed for years. I mean, Abraham prayed for a child for 25 years, Isaac for 20 years. Like, so God doesn't just go, ding, all right, here's your answer. But Paul, when he's begging for the thorn to be taken away, I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. He outranks us by quite a lot.
A little bit.
But he's begging for this, right? And he's like, hey, this is a thorn. This is a consequence of the fall. It hurts me. I would like it taken away. I've come to you repeatedly, you know, like, please take this away. And God comes with a message to him that also is an answer in a sense, where he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And so I think at the same time that we're invited to keep asking and to keep seeking and to keep knocking, there's a recognition that even if you don't give me, I think this should be our heart in the midst of the asking, even if you don't give me this thing, you're worthy of my obedience because you've given me yourself. You've given me your son. You've given me promises and an inheritance and far more than I deserve, even if you never answer this. But I'm going to keep coming to you because I trust you're good, because look at what you already have given me. And I'm going to lean on my knowledge of your goodness, and I'm going to keep asking, but I recognize your grace is sufficient for me, even if you don't answer me on this side of glory. And that's a hard thing to do unless you're looking at his goodness.
Yeah. So let's go to him now. Lord, we come to you now just as our good Father, Lord. And we say that and we hear the invitation in that to come to you, God, seeing that you are a Father who loves us, who cares about us. And not only that, that you are good, that you can be trusted with the prayers that are answered, with the prayers that are not answered, with the prayers that are answered with just waiting, Lord. So meet with us in that time. Lord, forgive us that we don't trust you like we should. We doubt your power and we do not come to you with all the things we need to. So Lord, give us hearts that desire your presence through prayer. Lord, for some people who have stopped praying prayers that they used to desire, maybe would you reignite that flame? For some of us who are just stuck in the brokenness of why, God, aren't you responding? Would we hold on to what Paul said? That you're with us in our weakness, God. That your power is made perfect in the midst of our weakness. So let us hold on to that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Bible Show. If you enjoy this podcast, please remember to like, subscribe, and leave a kind review to help us in the world of tech algorithms. Also, if this episode would bless a friend or family member, please share it with them. We'll see you next time on The Bible Show.